AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. Fred Rogan.
You know the one thing you never do? You never mess with the big dog.
Rodney Pete.
Let me in. Let me do my thing.
This is Rogan and Rodney. This hour of Rogan and Rodney is sponsored by Duffy Power Services, Southern California's generator experts. Go to DuffyPower.com. That's DUTHIE.com. Rogan and Rodney can be streamed and podcasted wherever you are on the iHeartRadio app. Now your hosts.
I'm ready. It's game day, Fred. I'm so ready.
Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete.
Power out. Get some power, Fred. In the world.
Fred, it might help if you turn your microphone on.
Fred, turn your mic on, Fred.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. All
right. I'm new at this.
I've never done this before. There we go.
Evan, he's been doing this about as long as you've been alive, if not longer.
I don't think you have to be rude about it. All right, so. Welcome to the Hollywood Park Casino. Some of our people are already here. If you're registered, you've got Dodger tickets. You've got to come down here and pick them up. You don't come down here and pick them up, you don't get them. If you're in the area, if you're within 50 miles of the Hollywood Park Casino and you want to go see the Dodgers, come on down here between noon and 3. We have tickets to give away all afternoon long, and we want you to be a winner. Right off the top, we were going to give well, you know what? Evan Phillips of the Dodgers is here.
Of course!
We don't want to talk about me splitting tens, Fred, and doubling on a hard eight. And
would you double on a hard eight?
All right, we'll get to that. And I mean, Evan Phillips actually played a huge role in last night's game. He was allowed to get up and warm up, so that was pretty impressive.
We were talking about that. From your perspective, warming up during that game when Tyler's having that kind of performance, what's it like for you and the communication that's going back and forth as you're either watching it unfold or just getting yourself ready? What's it like for you?
You know, it's definitely a tricky situation because, you know, Tyler's out there and, you know, when you have a no-hitter going like that, everyone kind of knows that he's going to have that longer leash until that no-hitter ends. So, I think in the seventh inning, I was ready to go in case he lost it in the seventh and then stayed ready again in the eighth. But, you know, ultimately, it's my job to just stay ready for whenever my name is called. So it's definitely not easy, but, you know, for Tyler to do what he did, and, you know, I was happy with the way I stayed prepared. And then for Craig to come in and finish the job was a really great team win for us last night.
But as you're warming up and you have to do your job and you have to be prepared, that's also your teammate and your buddy out there pitching. In the back of your mind, are you going, hey, I'll be ready, but I don't want to go in there. I want you to finish it and get it.
You know, it's a fine line because, you know, as I'm preparing, as I'm warming up, I'm just trying to stay as locked in as I can on what my job may have to be. So I was just telling Rodney before we went live, you know, I want Tyler to get that job. I want him to finish it off, but I couldn't really, you know, recognize that until, you know, after the game and say, hey, man, like that was a tremendous effort. You know, my job was to stay ready in case I needed to come in and pitch.
Yeah. And now everybody's different, and everybody talks about, you know, when you get to that sixth inning, that seventh inning, you got it going, you know, what do you do? Oh, don't talk to him. Don't look him in the eye. And all those things start to creep in. For you, which would you prefer? And how was Tyler during the whole situation? It seemed like he was calm talking to everybody and just interacting. And I know some guys would be like, get that away from me, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, I think – you know, most guys would probably tell you they just want to keep things as normal as possible. They don't want to add any kind of, you know, extra spotlight to the situation because then you make something of it. So I think for Tyler, I'm sure in the dugout, he was doing the same exact thing he would do if he was having, you know just another start. I'm sure nothing was different. And then, you know, for us in the bullpen, we're the ones that get really superstitious about, like, where we're sitting. like, did he throw a ball when I was standing on this side of the fence or whatnot? So I'm sure a lot of guys in the bullpen you were trying to play those mind games too, you know, but Tyler did a great job, and I'm sure he's a little disappointed he couldn't finish it off, but at the end of the day, that's one heck of a start anyway.
Sure was. Yeah. Did you? You probably couldn't see this, but on the television broadcast you could, that all of a sudden between innings, he started shaking his hand, rubbing his arm, and, it, you know, watching him, you thought, oh, my God, he's hurt, but he wasn't hurt. But it, he became more enthusiastic about just grabbing his arm, rubbing his arm, twisting his arm, shaking his arm. What was that about?
Yeah, I'm really not sure, but I can say as a pitcher, like you'll probably see me here doing it today. It just sometimes you just want to move it, you know, and I think pitchers are weird like that. And like when you feel something doing a certain thing, maybe you don't like it or maybe it feels good to massage it, whatever it could be. And so, like, you know, I think everyone's kind of hyper aware in a situation like that. We're like, oh, no, is he okay? What's going on? But more often than not, it's just pitchers being pitchers, man. It's just trying to make sure everything's feeling good.
Yeah. What's it been like for you, man, wearing that Dodger, you know, uniform and, you know, the difference of this place as opposed to some of the other places you've been, in Atlanta in particular?
I really don't think it compares to anything else in the major leagues. You know, I've had a little bit of time here with the Dodgers now, and then, you know, just in comparison to some of the East Coast teams I've played for, it's just not Los Angeles. You know, I think the Dodgers just attracts all this other attention around the city, and there's a lot of buzz going around about the team. There's a lot of history with the team, so to be a part of something that special, that's that historical, with like this kind of team that we have right now, it means a lot to me, because, you know, my major league career to this point has been very up and down, so to kind of have a cemented spot with this team is really starting to feel special.
Evan Phillips of the Dodgers is with us. We're live at the Hollywood Park Casino. We invite you to come on down. We'll be giving away Dodger tickets today. You know, Evan, you say your career has been a little bit up and a little bit down. What has that journey been like for you from the beginning?
You know, I think through those ups and downs, the one consistent thing is that the work never really has to change. And my job every day is to, you know, compete and try to win games to help our team. But, you know, aside from that, you know, in my practice every day, the work never really changed. And I think, you know, circumstances can change. What team you're on, what level you're at, this and that. But I took a lot of pride in getting my work done every single day and trying to take baby steps to get better and better. And, you know, I still do that to this day, but it's kind of coming into a more rounded form right now. And I feel really happy with where I'm at.
Yeah, it's great, man. I'm fascinated with pitchers, especially nowadays, where you have to be so on and you have to be so fine. And you can't get away with certain mistakes in today's game. And the analytics obviously play a big role in it. But as you're going through a lineup and you're kind of evaluating each and every single guy, talk about how soon you know you have the command and can you ever get it back? And when do you know after the first few pitches or maybe it takes an inning that I've got command of my changeup, I've got command of my curveball? Because we hear that a lot. We heard that a lot about Walker Buehler throughout the first part of the year. He doesn't have the command that he once had. So how soon do you know that, and how do you rectify it?
You know, I think it's definitely different for a relief pitcher where, you know, we pretty much were available every single night. So some days are different than others. Even just as like a normal human being, you're going to have days where you sleep well, where you don't, where you, you know, had a tough workout, or you know, you got stuff going on in your personal life, whatever it may be. There's these external factors that can affect, you know, how you might pitch. But as a reliever, you know, we've challenged ourselves in the bullpen to kind of be robotic about it and just say, this is who I am, this is what I do, and I'm going to go out there and compete and be myself. And so I think even on those days where you might not have that perfect feel or that perfect command, you can still have that conviction to go get the job done. And you know, that's really something they cement into us through the bullpen coach, Josh Bard. He really, you know, preaches us to be ourselves and get really good at what we do. And so, you know, even on our worst days, we can still go get the job done, and they believe in us.
You know, you talked about playing here is really unlike playing anywhere else, just market size. But from everybody we've talked to over the years, the Dodgers are so far ahead of many teams analytically and the way they help their players and put them in the best position to win. What's it like in that regard playing for the Dodgers, the amount of material you get, and kind of the personal instruction everybody gets?
You know, I'd say it's pretty individualized. I don't think they don't have like a specific protocol they push on every single player, but if you want information, you know, they can definitely give it to you. You know, and for me, I think that information has been a very big step in the right direction for my career, because I'm learning things about myself and things that I do well that I didn't even know I was doing well.
Give us an example of that.
So my slider is probably my best pitch, you know, and it has a certain amount of break to it, and I throw it at a certain velocity that makes it unique to any other slider in the game. And so my
job. That, Fred? Meet to any other slider in the game.
That's right.
So the challenge. So the challenge for me last year was to, you know, really hone it in and harness that command and be able to throw it, you know, for a strike, for a strikeout to a right-handed hitter, a left-handed hitter, regardless of who that hitter may be. So I've been really convicted in that sense of my slider this year, and I've added a cutter to help create some space to left-handed hitters, and then I still have my four-seam fastball that I can ride in there on both sides of the plate. And I think you know, confidence in any sport and at any level is a huge factor, and I think I'm at a really confident spot in my career right now.
Love that, Fred.
I know.
All right, so as a pitcher, because there's crazy debate right now, and we just talked about Blake Treinen yesterday talking about, you know, the rule changes and just leave baseball alone. From a pitcher standpoint, are you a fan or not a fan of the automated strike zone that so many favor?
He's a huge fan.
You know, I have a pretty hot take about instant replay as a whole, you know, and I kind of just wish they would just do away with all of it and just let officials rule the game, let the umpires rule the game, and mm-hmm. that's why they're there, you know. Mm-hmm. Umpires mm-hmm. make mistakes, players mm-hmm. make mistakes, and mm-hmm. I think the more we uh-huh. push like automated strike zone, the more we push like getting every call exactly right, it just,
yeah,
I think it takes away from the energy of a stadium when there's a close mm-hmm. call at first
base.
Say
it loud.
Or, you know, like in football, every single pass interference gets reviewed now, and it just slows down the game. And there's just so much of it going on. I wish they would either go all in and get every single play right or just take it away.
See, but here's the problem, Evan, and consider this. And you, I mean, football's one thing because you get a chance to watch it. Baseball's another because you're playing. So you can't really watch the game while you're playing the game. And here's the disconnect. When the folks out here today are watching on TV, they see something, and in our world, there is an expectation of what the result will be. So if you throw a pitch, and we saw a couple of them last night with a plate umpire, but if you throw a pitch and it is a strike and the umpire calls it a ball, that is a disconnect now. That doesn't compute for us because there's a box that shows you where the ball goes. And people at home should never know more than the people that are involved in the game. It doesn't work that way. So the only way to correct that is to, and Rodney fights me on this all the time, so that's the issue here. He fights me all the time on it. You got to go to the automated strike zone, and you have to use, you. Well, look, all right, fine. You're out there, and you throw a strike. You throw one of those sliders that you've perfected, and a guy doesn't give you the call? Seriously? That works for you?
Trust me, I hear you. I hear
right.
you. But I could I could give you countless times where they've, you know, given me pitches that weren't in the strike zone, and you know, to me, as a pitcher, there's been times where I'll throw one and I get called a ball and I could have swore it was a strike. And then there's times where I throw a strike and I could have swore it was a ball. And so sometimes a human eye just plays a trick on you, and it's definitely playing a trick on the umpire, and I certainly hope it's playing a trick on the hitter, you know. But I think umpires are there to do a job. We can challenge them to be better at doing their job all around the board in every single sport. You know, you're seeing a lot of calls in the NBA Finals, too, that people are complaining about, and you're right. They have that spotlight. They can see, the fans at home can see what call's being made and if it's perfectly right or perfectly wrong. But, you know, it's a tough job, and I think that's why they're there. They're there to do their job.
See, Evan agrees with me.
No, not even close. Not even close.
Oh, well, I heard what I wanted to hear. My bad. My mistake.
My mistake.
Evan, as you probably figured out, we're spoiled here in L.A. with the Dodgers and how well they've done, and just from top to bottom, you know, right? The way they do business, the way they stay in it, we're blessed that every single year you feel like you got a chance to win. I mean, imagine being in Cincinnati or Pittsburgh or some places where, you know, you go 5 years knowing you're not going to win a World Series. We're here every year, you got a chance to win it, so it's pretty cool. And then when we look at this lineup and look where we are, it doesn't even feel like the Dodgers are playing anywhere near or anywhere close to the ability. And yet we're still top to the NL West and still, you know, top in baseball. But when you look at this lineup, because on paper it's a crazy talented lineup, and from a pitcher's point of view, getting your mindset ready to face a lineup like that, what's that like? Like if you were to face your own team in that lineup.
Sure. You know, and we faced plenty of good teams out there. We had, you know, we just played the Giants, and you know, within our division, the Giants and Padres are two great teams. And, you know, I really don't try to add any extra credit to a hitter because I want to treat them all the same. you know, I don't want to treat, you know, a Padres player any different than a Pirates player just because of the name on the jersey.
I still have a job. Get a little amped up when you know Machado's digging
you
know, in
you
on
know, you. Sometimes like when the environment, you know, lifts it up, it's definitely, you can feel that energy, but I try to stay as even keel as I can with every hitter I face, because, you know, if I give anybody, you know, this amount of credit but not this guy, I feel like that guy might have a better chance to beat me. So I try not to add or elevate, you know, one guy too high, because at the end of the day, I still got a job to do, and my job is to get that guy out. But, you know, it's definitely a little, it can be a little frightening going through, like, the Dodgers lineup. Yeah. You know, you go through it and you realize, let's say you're going through 3, 4, 5 in our lineup, you're not even facing Mookie and Freddie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we got, you know, MVP after MVP after All-Star. And, you know, it's a pleasure to play on a team like this. And in some ways, I'm thankful I don't have to face them, you know. But it's really special. And I think, like you said, we're probably playing at 75% of our potential right now. And I think, you know, that's the game of baseball. That's sports. You know, everyone's kind of – you can expect ups and downs throughout the season. So we still got a lot of baseball to play. And I think as long as we peak at the right time, we got a good chance.
Our guest is Evan Phillips of the Dodgers. Yeah. We're at the Hollywood Park Casino. We invite everybody in the area to come on down. We have Dodger tickets to give away.
Yes, we do.
Between now and 3 o'clock, be a part of the show. If you registered online, you've got your tickets, but you still have to come down here and pick them up. We've got a lot planned, and we have more planned with Evan as we continue from Hollywood Park. All right, come on down. We've got tickets. People are starting to get here now. When I said seating is limited, I wasn't kidding. At first, we were a bit concerned. Now we have other concerns. So if you're in the area and you want to win, get on down here.
Hey, it's your girl, Nina Chantel. You're listening to my homies, Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM 570 LA Sports, your home of the Dodgers.
Oh, a little throwback Thursday. I like it. We are here live. All the way live at the Hollywood Park Casino in Inglewood. Rodney Peet, Fred Rogan. Our guest, Dr. Pitcher, Evan Phillips, hanging out with us. Gonna get a little blackjack in after this. Oh, here we go. Feel it. Feel it.
You know it.
Let's go Dodgers.
I don't know how many of you registered and are guaranteed Dodger tickets, but keep in mind, we are going to start giving away Dodger tickets very soon to those who have not registered. So come on down here, Hollywood Park Casino. We're here today between now and 3 o'clock, and you've got a chance to win tickets. By the way, Evan, Rodney was just talking about gambling here at the casino. Do you have any tips for our listeners and our friends that are here? You know, tips for blackjack or poker or craps, anything like that?
21 is good in blackjack, right? Honestly, that's about my extent. That's all I got for you.
Okay. Then we will not see you at the table. Yeah.
Probably not.
What are your tips, Red?
We will not, huh?
What are your tips?
We'll get to those.
Oh, okay.
We'll get to those. Right. You know, Evan, drafted 17th round by the Braves. You played for the Orioles and the Rays. And I'm wondering, how much does location or how much does the franchise you're with affect your career? Because now you're obviously with the Dodgers, the premier franchise in baseball. How much of a difference does it make depending on what team you're on?
You know, when I first got up to the major leagues, I was very fortunate to be in a situation where I had opportunity to grow. You know, I would say I probably needed some more development at the major league level, especially earlier in my career. So I was very fortunate to have that time with Baltimore, you know, in their rebuilding phase where I could go through and try to get some experience and development at the major league level. You know, at times it was painful and a struggle, but, you know, I grew up an Orioles fan, so I had a little bit of, you know, that childhood dream come true moment, you know, and to do that and be able to get plenty of opportunity to develop at the major league level was really important for my career, because I think without those, you know, those highs and lows at that stage of my career, I don't think I would have ended up at this point.
Yeah. You know, for me, I always tell people, even though you play in the NFL, every organization, every team is not made equally. And I would imagine that it's similar in baseball, too. You know, even though it's the MLB,
different organizations and franchises run things differently. I can tell you, playing for the Cowboys, everything is first class. Everything they do is 100% first class, the way you travel, the way you eat, and where to do things. Have you found differences in organizations, not to throw anybody under the bus, but the way the Dodgers do things as opposed to other teams do things?
Yeah, I think the obvious difference is probably how much money teams can allocate to certain different assets. So obviously the on-field product of players is going to be the front and foremost of every major league team. But I think what the Dodgers do well, behind the scenes is really what separates them from a lot of the other teams in major leagues. I think the Dodgers allocate a lot of resources to making sure players, have whatever they may need, on a day-to-day basis. And I think that goes from, coaching and development, that goes into, having the players that we do on our roster. That goes into, support staff, strength, training, whatever it may be. The Dodgers have really given us every single resource we need to become, World Series champions.
If you weren't playing baseball, what would you be doing?
Man, that's a really tough question because I put a lot of my life into the game of baseball. And, I think maybe on the other side of the game, I'd love to be, in the front office, coaching, whatever it may be. I think I've given a lot of my life to this game, and it's definitely what I feel most passionate about. So I would say at this point, that's probably what I'd be doing after I'm done playing. First thing that comes to my head, if you take baseball completely out of the picture, I'd probably be doing architecture, which I know is probably something you might not be expecting. But I just love blueprints and drawing and kind of creating an image in my head. So maybe down the road I'll take a class or two just for fun, but definitely not right now.
Not right now. Not for a while, man. And you were always a pitcher growing up?
Growing up, I played, infield, hit, did all that. But I think it was probably my freshman year of high school. I actually got hurt playing basketball. And, the first thing I did in my rehab was, play catch. And I think that's really when I started to hone in on my pitching.
Yeah. And so what do you make going from in pitching? Obviously, you've done it for a long time. But the transition from being a starter and starting the game, and now, coming out of the bullpen, the mindset that you have to have, because like the other night or last night, you didn't know, you're trying to get ready and pumped up as a starter. At 7:10, I'm throwing that first pitch and I'm good to go. You're in the bullpen, you just like, and then I gotta go.
It can definitely be like that at times, and I think the best thing a reliever can do is have some sort of routine, throughout the game. And I think, each guy is going to be different. Their routine is going to be independent of who they are and what they choose to do. I've seen guys that have no routine, but that is their routine. Is it just be laxed and when the phone calls and their name is when the phone rings and their name is called, they get ready to pitch? I think I'm a little too amped up during the game for me to be that way. So every game in the fifth inning, I have my stretch routine, and then I do a very similar, pitching routine before I go out there and pitch in the game. So I think that having a routine you can really hone in on every single day is helpful, because there's a lot of external factors that can affect the game itself. So having something that you can do on an everyday basis really helps.
Going into the game, have they had a conversation with everybody in the bullpen and said, okay, we expect you to go tonight, or if this happens, you'll go in the sixth inning or the seventh inning? Or are you just sitting there, and the minute the bullpen phone rings, do you jump up, grab the ball, and say, I'm ready to go?
Again, that's a little bit independent of each pitcher. I think some guys do better by not knowing anything. And then there's guys that, the coaches can feel comfortable saying, hey, we like you for this stretch of five or six hitters. We like you for the seventh inning tonight. We like you for, this situation. So depending on how the game flow, and like in a game last night when Tyler's going out and dominating like he was, our bullpen coach came around and said, hey, you move around a little bit. Like, this might be a good line for you to come in and throw if we need you. So,
and how more detailed does it get? Does it get to, he walks this guy, you going, or,
I think bullpen pitchers kind of have an experience to this point where you can see the flow of the starter, and as he creeps up towards 100 pitches is normally when that's probably the extent of their start. So as that pitch count climbs a little bit, everybody in the bullpen starts to stir a little bit, because you just never want to be caught off guard.
You said if you weren't doing this, And maybe one day you'll take some courses in architecture. You like design. You like to figure things out. Do you, when you go into the game, if you were an architect, design what you're going to do in your mind before you start?
You know, that's an interesting way to put it. And I would say, yeah, I try to map out what I'm going to do before I go out there and do it. That way, in a sense, it feels like I've already done it. You know what I mean? I'm very analytical in that sense. I like to plan things out. I like to have a plan, and I like to be prepared. So I think from that sense of an architectural approach to a game, yeah, I guess you could say that.
Can you, first off, what do you think about going back to rules? What do you think about the shift being eliminated next year, that part of it?
I'm curious to see how that's going to shake out. I think, if hitters can hit a certain way that, forces us to play our defense on one side of the field, I don't see a problem with it. I think you could argue that a hitter needs to be able to hit to all sides of the field to take the shift away. But, we'll see how it ends up working next year, but I think we should be able to play defense wherever we want to play defense. Like in football, you have certain formations that are illegal, but you can put your free safety over here if you want to. You can pull him down in the box if you want to. Why can't we put our second baseman in right field? It's a very similar thought.
Well, talking about the shift, and you're saying maybe guys should be able to hit the ball where somebody's not. And I've made that point for years as a guy that hasn't played. I'm also a guy that says, well, if they're going to shift on you, just bunt. But every time do they correct that? And people say that's much harder to do than to say it is. Is it?
Well, for me, I'll try to compare it to being a pitcher. I throw a four-seam fastball, and I think if you were to come to me and say, hey, this guy can't hit sinkers, just throw sinkers, I'd be like, well, I can try. So I think that's an argument for hitters, is that, they've been practicing one swing over and over and over, that if you tell them to, hit the ball the other way or just lay a bunt down, it's not something they practice as much. And I think that's why you see so many guys get, they'll ground out into the shift because they're sticking with their guns, sticking with who they are, and they're willing to take those failures, And then on the flip side of that, when they, they do stay in their swing and they connect, then they do damage. Right. So I think it's a slippery slope, to say that, hey, just beat the shift, just go the other way, because it's just not that easy.
It's not that easy. Also, you're pitching to them a certain way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's affecting that as
right.
well.
Right. And more often than not, we're pitching towards the shift.
Right.
Like if we have a guy that's like a deadpool hitter, we're going to pitch close to him. That way he pulls it into our defense. Or we pitch, something soft. That way he rolls over it into our defense. We're never really trying to pitch away from what we have set up defensively.
When you talk about pitching a certain way, you're a professional pitcher. That's how you earn your living. How precise can you be with your pitches?
I don't really it's very reactionary. It's I think you kind of like, it's like target practice. It's a repetitive motion that we do every single day. So I think it's borderline subconscious at this point, where it's like walking in a straight line. It's what it feels like when you execute a pitch. It's it's see it and do it and repeat it.
Let's try it out now, Fred. Why don't you walk down there to the raise your game sign? I'm going to put this can on top of your head. Yep. Anybody got a baseball?
Oh, man. Baseball?
Yeah, we don't need to find one. No, that won't be necessary.
Fred.
That won't be necessary. That's pretty funny, actually.
Get that done.
All right, so today you're here, off day for the Dodgers. What is your life like away from the field?
Away from the field during the season, it's a lot of just decompression time, whatever I can do to just take a step away from how much adrenaline we build up during the season. So, a day like today, I get to come out here and do something like this with you guys. It's very relaxing, having a good time. And then, tonight we have the Dodgers Foundation Gala, so that'll be a good night for us. But, in the off season, things like that, when I can really step away from the game, I like to play golf, like to, vacation with my wife, go see family, make up for lost time that we didn't get during the season.
Yeah, this off day, and you're hanging out with us. What's your wife saying? She's like, you don't get many off days, and now you're not even here on your off day.
Oh, I know it, but I'm sure she's listening right now, so I think she's having a good time.
All right, good.
And, I wonder, and maybe you can't specifically talk about it, but and Rodney could address this.
Say it first, Fred. Don't be putting words in my mouth.
Well, I'm just saying, I think you would have a pretty good idea.
Okay, check it.
What's it like, do you think, for your wife to be married to a professional athlete? What are there stresses? Are there pressures? Is it a different kind of life for her, do you think?
I think it's definitely a stressor to just live the lifestyle and, have to travel and coordinate plans. And I tell you what, when I was, bouncing up and down between the majors and the minor leagues, trying to coordinate flights, and, when I first got called up to the major leagues, she wasn't with me that night. And then, I show up to the field the next day, and I got sent down to the minor leagues while she was on an airplane coming into the major league city.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So, you know, that kind of logistical stuff can really make it challenging. But, you know, she's a trooper. She's been with me from day one through all this. And, going through like something like last year, bouncing from, Baltimore to Tampa and then finishing up with the Dodgers, it was really important for me to have her out here with me and experience all this. Going through the playoffs and stuff like that, and it's fun, and I think we're gonna have so much life together after baseball that one day we'll look back on this and just be able to reflect and enjoy the time we had.
Do you talk baseball with her?
Yeah, she's got a bit of a baseball background too, so she loves the game. She loves watching the game. So there's definitely times where I need to just turn it off and just say, hey, I'm done talking about baseball. It's time to go to bed or whatever it might be, but. It's nice to be able to communicate, like what I'm feeling from a baseball standpoint, because it's my job and it's my passion. So I'm glad I can share that with her.
So you don't get the why did you throw the ball into double coverage like Holly Robinson Pete used to do to me when I was playing.
No, I believe that, but no, definitely not quite like that.
Hey, all right. So you said Baltimore, Tampa, the Dodgers. Every time you get a call like that, okay, Baltimore, now Tampa, now Dodgers. Every time you get a call like that, are you surprised? And when you got the call about the Dodgers, did you go, thank God?
You know what? It was a pretty hectic couple of weeks when that all went down last August. I got called up with Tampa, and then they tried to send me right back down right away, and then the Dodgers swooped in and picked me up. But that was like a two-day process. So I was back home in Raleigh, North Carolina with my family, and I get a call from one of the Rays representatives, and I could hear it in his voice. He was really disappointed. He said, man, Evan, the Dodgers claimed you. And, my head immediately went to like, dang, Los Angeles. I'm like, wow, I gotta catch a flight to LAX like in 4 hours. I gotta go pack. It's like I didn't really have time to think about all this because, it's still in this moment. I wasn't too sure about my future with the Dodgers. And it could have been, a five-day thing. It could have been 2 weeks, but here it is. I've really taken it in stride, and I'm very happy about that. But baseball can be a bit chaotic at times when you're up and down like that. But like I said earlier, the work never changes. I've really put my mind to committing to the process and committing to getting better, and I've been really gotten a lot of support from these guys. So it's been tremendous.
And when you got the call from the Dodgers, who called you? What did they say?
My first call from the Dodgers was Brandon Gomes. He's our new general manager, and he just pretty much helped me and said, hey, you're going to fly in. We'll see you tomorrow at the game. Here's your hotel, this kind of stuff. This person will be in contact with you. We're looking forward to having you. And then the following day I kind of had a meeting with Dave Roberts, Andrew Friedman, the pitching coaches and all that, and they kind of gave me like an idea of what they were expecting out of me.
And when after you walked out of that meeting, did you feel like, okay, I'm really here now, and these guys want me?
Yeah, absolutely. And not only that, but seeing guys walk in, last year, I had never played on a team like the Dodgers, so first guy I met was Clayton Kershaw. And, as a baseball fan, that was a big deal for me. And then, followed by Albert Pujols and Justin Turner, Mookie Betts, like name after name, like Max Scherzer. My locker mate was Trey Turner and Joe Kelly. I was just like, oh my God, where am I?
And everybody was really welcoming?
Oh yeah. I mean, this is the most incredible group of guys, and I think that was something that I wasn't too sure what to expect, just because you get these high profile Hall of Famers, All-Stars left and right, and I didn't know what kind of personality it was going to be, because I was used to playing with peers, really. My guys in Baltimore, we were all similar in a way, similar age and similar status, you could say. So to switch that up and be in a locker room like that was definitely a bit shell shocking at first, but to learn more about them as people and as teammates, it's been everyone has been super welcoming, and everyone's a great person too. And I think that's what makes us mesh so well.
Yeah, what do you make of Tyler Anderson and Tony Gonsolin, their start right now? I mean, you can flip a coin and pick one to start the All-Star game, I think, right now, but just their starts. And from a pitching standpoint, I love it, because to play in the major leagues, to do what you do, everybody's talented. You got to be talented to get there and to stay there. You got to be talented. So everybody's got talent. But to see it come together and to see it click and to see it work for them, and they're on their game like that, is pretty cool. From your eyes, when you see guys going like that? Because, you know, out to the world, we're, including us, surprised and shocked. Okay, these guys are undefeated doing their thing. But when you're in it every day and watching it, is it one of those, they're just in a groove, I'm not even going to mess with it, they're just doing their thing? Or could you see it coming?
You know, I think it's definitely, it speaks to their persistence and their routines. And honestly, I would say from what I've seen with Tony over the past two seasons, he's doing the same exact things he did last year.
Yeah.
He's just piecing it together a little bit more consistently on the mound and in the games. You know, and you can credit that to just his hard work and what he's done behind the scenes to make himself, you know, a better major league pitcher. And the same goes for Tyler. It really is fascinating, though, because, you know, coming into the season, those guys were probably 5 and 6 in our rotation. You know, and then in every sport, in every season, you know, certain circumstances happen. Unfortunately, we lose Walker for a little bit. You know, Clayton goes down for a bit. You know, and to have guys step up and really fill in those roles and become a heck of a 1-2 punch for our rotation, it's something that, you know, we wouldn't be in the position we're in right now without them. And we're very fortunate for that.
I got to tell you, you're a fascinating guy. It is so cool that you came down here. We really appreciate it. How about that?
Absolutely.
No, I mean, to get a chance to get to know you a little bit and really understand who you are, and when you step onto the mound and your approach, and you're a cerebral guy, and that's the reason he's successful. And you have battled, you've overcome adversity, you started and you climbed, and now you end up, hopefully forever, exactly where you should be. Yeah. So this is really cool. Thank you, Evan.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah.
All right. Evan Phillips of the Dodgers. And he'll take some more pictures. You'll sign a few more things, too?
Absolutely.
Very cool. Now, we invite you to come down to Hollywood Park Casino. We're here till 3 o'clock. We're going to start giving away Dodger tickets. And, all right, here's a question for our crowd. Is anyone here who did not register, who did not, outstanding, because you are going to get to play Know Your Squad live next. And if you win the game, you win Dodger tickets. Sports. Live from the Hollywood Park Casino, come on down. There are still a few seats. And we want you to come down. We want you to win Dodger tickets and be a part of the show. Rob Parker is going to do some of his comedy act at 1 o'clock. Yeah. He's going to... No, don't get too excited. We have a woman here losing her mind. It's too much for her. It's going to be all right. And come on down to Hollywood Park.
And now another Rogan and Rodney.
Oh, yeah!
Afternoon Delight.
Those of a certain age remember this one, Freddie, on a Throwback Thursday.
I remember it.
Yeah, you do.
Down in summer.
Today. Oh, as they say in the neighborhood, Fred, Donna Summers.
Right,
in the neighborhood. Today's Throwback Thursday edition of Afternoon Delight is Hot Stuff by Donna Summer. This track appears on the Summer's 7th studio album entitled Bad Girls. It's one of 4 songs from that songstress that reached the top position on the Billboard Hot 100 charts. In addition to reaching platinum status in the United States, the song also won the inaugural Grammy Award for Best Female Rock Vocal Performance and is ranked at number 104 on Rolling Stone's list of the 500 greatest songs of all time. Again, today's Throwback Thursday edition of Afternoon Delight is Hot Stuff by Donna Summer. And don't forget, Afternoon Delight is brought to you by Tommy's. Stop into your local original Tommy's today and grab one of their world-famous burgers topped with their special recipe all-beef chili. Visit originaltommy's.com to find a location near you. Hot stuff, Fred.
Rogan and Rodney Roulette. Know Your Squad.
All right, the next stop on the Petros and Money Chevy Summer Tour is tomorrow at a Rock and Brews restaurant in Buena Park, where great music meets great food. Check out our Instagram at AM570 LA Sports and enter to win a Chevy Silverado. It's presented by Chevrolet. Find new roads. Hollywood Park Casino, we're giving away Dodger tickets here till 3. Come on down. Come on down and be a part of it. We need you to be here. We want you to win. Come on. Randy from Riverside listens to the show. He came down to the remote today. Randy, how you doing?
I'm good, Fred. Thanks for having me.
Randy from Riverside.
That's it, baby. That's it.
All right.
Yeah, he is.
So originally from Inglewood.
Inglewood.
All right.
Don't let him be misunderstood.
No. Yeah. Up to no good. Now.
My mistake.
Then you had to go do that.
I'm sorry. All right, so we're playing Know Your Squad, and Know Your Squad will give you five choices, Randy. Answer before I give you all five choices. You're locked out. You have one challenge flag. Use your challenge. If it's upheld, you hold on to your challenge flag. Right. If you use your challenge flag and you are denied, you are locked out of the next question, okay?
All right.
Ronnie, you ready?
Good afternoon, Rogan and Rodney. Let's play.
Here we go, folks. Play along at home. Jared Goff threw one touchdown pass in the Rams' overtime win in the 2019 NFC Championship game in New Orleans. Who caught that touchdown pass? Tyler Higbee, Todd Gurley, Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, or Jordan Woods?
Robert Woods.
Robert Woods.
Tyler Higbee.
Ronnie. Rodney.
Come on. He's not even here and you still want to give it to Ronnie.
What are you laughing at?
What in the world?
Is it Robert Woods?
Like he's about to smack you upside the head.
What's the answer, Fred?
All right, I gotta,
see what I got to deal with?
He's about to give the Al Locasal treatment.
Oh, my goodness.
The old Al Locasal.
Who was it,
to give him that Locasal.
He'd give it to you. You can't give me an Al Locasal if you have all your teeth.
Oh. That's true.
God bless. Is that a cheap shot?
Yeah.
He would laugh, though. Would he?
Yes, he would.
And you'd see he has no teeth. Well, okay.
Double down, huh?
Here's the next question. By the way, are you looking at me when I'm asking the questions? You see I'm trying to shield the questions.
I think so, Fred. I think so.
Randy. All right. Which of these players had the longest reception in the Super Bowl this past February?
I just do everything I can.
With a 30? Well, all right.
Never lost.
Which of these players had the longest reception in the Super Bowl this past February with a 35-yard catch and run? Odell Beckham Jr., Van Jefferson, Cam Akers, Cooper Kupp, or Cooper Manning? Odell Beckham Jr. Rodney, Odell Beckham Jr.
Thank you, Fred.
Rodney.
Get that one, Freddie?
Yeah, you got it. I hear you.
Never lost.
Okay. Randy, are you even playing?
Yeah, I'm playing.
Are you playing? You keep always talking about how much you almost beat you. You almost beat me. Come on, man. Get in the game.
Hey, man.
Come on, man.
You're special, bud.
You said it. I didn't. I didn't have to say it.
Come on, Rodney. Yeah. Rodney, tell him. You need to break a sweat.
Tell him. I'm trying to get it in. I came down here early. I didn't get my workout in this morning. Come on, man. I'm trying to get it in now.
All right, brother. Come on.
Aaron Donald.
I didn't even stretch for this one, man. I don't know why. Calisthenics.
Aaron Donald and Von Miller led the teams in tackle for losses last season. Who was third on the team in tackles for loss? Kenny Young, Jalen Ramsey, Troy Reader, Leonard Floyd, or Leonard Nimoy?
Leonard Floyd.
And it is no good.
Leonard Floyd.
No, senor!
Rodney, who did you say?
Troy Reader.
How about you?
Troy Reader. Give me the names again.
Who's the other two people?
Cam Akers.
No, that's it.
Jalen Ramsey.
I said Jalen Ramsey.
I'm throwing my challenge flag here, Fred.
Oh, Ronnie is throwing a challenge flag.
Yeah, I said Jalen Ramsey.
When?
Well, let me go back and get the tape.
Instant replay.
Hang on.
I'll just give it to you. Ronnie.
Oh, you sure you will?
I'll just give it to you.
Sure you will. Honor code, is that what we're doing?
No, I'm just
saying. We're doing the honor system with Ronnie?
If Ronnie's throwing his flag, don't you think he's right?
It's up to you. I can pull the tape if you want.
I'm giving it to you.
Well, thank you, Fred.
I'm giving it to you.
He wouldn't have given it to you, Randy.
No.
I'd have taken it from you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ronnie, though, he never complains, so I'm going to give it to Ronnie. Okay, so Rodney has two.
Fair, Fred.
All right. Ronnie has one, and okay, Randy, good.
Come on, Randy.
Okay.
Come on, man.
Here we go. Who holds the team record for most fumbles committed in a single season with 21? Kurt Warner, Eric Dickerson, Tony Banks, Wendell Tyler, or Liv Tyler?
Eric Dickerson.
Tony Banks.
Wendell Tyler.
Tony Banks. Rodney.
Tony Banks.
I'm surprised nobody said Liv Tyler. I thought somebody would suggest that.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Liv Tyler?
Liv Tyler.
Steven Tyler's daughter?
Oh, I thought Liv Tyler was on the Liv Golf Tour. I'm sorry.
No.
Really? Look at Kevin looking at you. Oh, my God.
Okay.
My mistake.
I was like, do not give yourself a rim shot for
that. Please don't.
Armageddon, Fred. An actress.
Armageddon, yep.
I know. I was just trying to, you know.
Yeah, Liv tour.
It wasn't a bad try, though.
Liv Tyler tour.
She also played in The Hulk.
Yes.
I know who Liv Tyler is. I was just taking it. Yeah. But it wasn't a bad. I thought it'd go over. No, Kevin?
Oh. Leave the jokes to Rob Parker.
Yeah. And then Rob will laugh at his own joke. All right, Sean McVay is tied with John Robinson for most playoff games coached with 10, who was second on that list with 8 playoff games as the head coach of the Rams. Excuse me?
I almost sneezed.
All right. I don't want to lock you out. Here we go. Mike Martz, Ray Malavasi, Chuck Knox, Dick Vermeil, or Dick Trickle?
Chuck Knox!
Rodney! Chuck Knox.
Rodney!
Do a replay and challenge.
Randy is throwing his
flag. That's right.
All right.
I had it in my head, Fred, even before, as soon as you said it.
You knew it.
I knew it. I knew what's up.
You anticipated.
Yeah, I got that.
You got this one. You confident.
That's right.
All right, Ronnie's going to pull it. I actually think you did get it, Randy.
You do?
Yeah. That's the way I felt when I played him last time when y'all did the instant replay, but...
Oh, now you want to go back.
Now I'm here.
You want to look in the rear view mirror, huh?
Still not happy. Still not happy, Roddy.
Yeah. Right. I get it, though. I get it not being happy. I get it.
All right, Ronnie.
I feel so bad about the tuck rule.
That's right.
Ronnie, you close to getting it?
Well, guys, here we go.
Here we go. Dick Trickle.
Chuck Knox.
Uh-oh.
Dick Trickle.
Chuck Knox.
Uh-oh. Dick Trickle.
Chuck Knox.
Uh-oh.
We sound alike.
One more. Dick Trickle.
Chuck Knox.
Uh-oh. Dick Trickle.
Chuck Knox.
Daddy. Yeah. Oh, man. I think.
Be real.
Randy, I think Daddy got it. I think it was Daddy. Dick Trickle.
Chuck Knox.
Oh, wait a minute. What do you guys think? Dick Trickle.
Chuck Knox. What? What?
Dick Trickle.
Chuck Knox.
That's right. Give it up.
Chuck Knox.
Dick Trickle.
Chuck Knox.
I'm putting cases on all you.
Dick Trickle.
Chuck Knox.
All right. Randy, you got it.
Yeah.
Man.
That's right.
Can't believe you're going to take that charity.
Chuck Knox. Chuck Knox.
I love it.
All right, so here's the final one. Cooper Kupp was targeted a team-high 191 times last season, who was second on the team in targets with 89. Robert Woods, Van Jefferson, Odell Beckham Jr., Tyler Higbee, or Tyler Durden?
Van Jefferson.
Odell Beckham Jr.
Van Jefferson is correct.
Yeah. Inglewood, come on, y'all.
Okay. So the way today finishes is Rodney finishes with
two.
Randy.
I thought I had three.
No.
You took one away from me. That's what you did.
Well, all right. I'm sorry about that.
Never lost.
Randy finishes with two, and Ronnie finishes with one. No, that doesn't make sense. Rodney has
three.
Randy has
exactly
two.
I have three.
Ronnie has one.
You called it when you saw it. You said I had three.
All right. Too bad, Randy, you lose. Leonard Floyd or Leonard Nimoy.
Leonard Floyd.
But Rodney wins, but you know
even
what?
Even when they try to take it away from you.
Randy, you're still a winner. We're giving you Dodger tickets.
Yeah, all right.
That's what I'm talking
Randy
about.
Matt.
Yeah.
All right. We appreciate you driving down from Riverside. We're at the Hollywood Park Casino. We want you to come down. We're here in Inglewood.
Come on down.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Dodger tickets to give away between now and 3 o'clock, but you got to be here to win it.